The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Today's Shabbos being Sunday, Lishmat, Murzi Kenny Yosef Ben Sarah, Marat Zekenati, Yafa Bat Sarah. Abraham ben Esther, Hashem ben Hashem ben Eden, Amen. Today's being Sunday, Fuash Shilema, Moshe ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama Bat Rachel, Sarah Bat Rachel, Enna Rafana Dehem, Fana Nefesh, Rufuatam Kerubad Abo, Vechen Yirason, Vinomar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Zayin Amud Bet. And we're going to begin with Amar Bizera. Let's just review what we're discussing over here, a discussion that we learned on last daf. The discussion is the waters of Eretz Yisrael. How do you consider the waters of Eretz Yisrael? Basically, a person wrote a get on a boat. When a person wrote a get on a boat, we want to consider it, since you're in the sea space of Eretz Yisrael, is that considered Eretz Yisrael or not? Well, actually, we have a stira between two braitot. One braita said you don't have to say b'fanai nechtav. One said you do have to say b'fanai nechtav. How do we reconcile the braita? We want to say that both braitot are in the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda didn't talk about Gittin. Rabbi Yehuda talked about another law called the law of taking land, let's say, chutz la'aretz land, right? Putting it on a boat, planting it on the boat in the sea space of Eretz Yisrael. Now, we're talking about, as she points out, the board is made out of Heres, and therefore that's considered as if it's connected to the ground of the sea space, and therefore it's considered in the ground of Eretz Yisrael, only on one condition, but according to the Biuda, that the boat is actually grounded. Mm-hmm. That so long as the bottom of the boat is touching the floor of the ocean bed, so therefore it's considered as if the earth that you put on the Heres boat has been grown in Eretz Yisrael. Nafkamina, Ma'asrot, and all the other laws that apply to Eretz Yisrael, including Shemitah. However, if the boat is moving, meaning it's not touching the base of the seabed, then according to the Bihuda, it does not have a status of Eretz Yisrael. What does that do to our reconciliation of the Braitot? Now we can say, the time that we said that if a person writes again, he doesn't have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, still when the boat is grounded. The boat is touching, the base of the boat is touching the floorbed of the river, and therefore it's considered Eretz Yisrael. And that what it said, it's like chutz la'aretz, that's talking about where the boat is not touching the ground. I should point out that it doesn't matter the inyan gitin what the boat is made out of, even if it's a steel boat. I only said heret, that's the inyan ma'asrot and shemitah. But the Inyan Gittin, the point is the boat grounded or not? That's the way we wanted to reconcile. Once we gave this reconciliation, the Gemara wants to go discuss another argument and another discussion. So he says in the Gemara, Amar Vizira, Atzitz Nakuv, Hamunach Al Gabe Yetedot. Okay, you have an Atzitz, it's a flower pot, and the flower pot has a hole on the bottom. It's Atzitz Nakuv. Okay, and you suspended it over four poles in Eretz Yisrael. So it's suspended over the land of Israel. You planted in that flower pot. The question is that considered planting in Israel or not? Nafkamina is the ma'asrot. It's not touching the ground. It's over the airspace of the ground of Israel. So comes the Gemara and says, "Banu the machloket Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan." Well, we'll say it's the same argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What is that argument? So let's read Rashi. Rashi in the bottom line, Rashi says, "Rabbanan." Avira kemana keman de mancha dami. We just like according to Chachamim that they said that the water is not an interference to the ground, which means they, Hakamim said that the water under the boat does not separate between the boat and the ground. It doesn't have to be grounded according to the Banan. So too, airspace is not going to separate between the Atzit Shein and Akuv in the ground. Therefore, it's going to have a din of Eretz Yisrael. So she continues, Rabbi Yehuda, lo machayim ma'aseh bedoraita ad mancha a'ara.
So the air, just like the water serves as an interference on the boat, so too the airspace will serve as an interference to atzitz nakuv, and therefore it's not going to be din of eretz yisrael yismid deoraita to be mechayav in ma'asot and shemita. So the Gemara wants to link the machloket of the boat to the machloket of the atzitz nakuv. Comes the Gemara and says, not so fast. Amar Rava dilma lohi. Maybe the arguments are not linked. Ad kan lo kamar biyuda atam. Ela b'sfina asuya livroah, which is maybe the Biyuda only said his din over there because a boat is destined to move, and therefore that's why he says the one has to be grounded. Aval atzitz she'eno asuy livroah, but atzitz is inanimate; it's not going anywhere; it's staying in its position. Lo, maybe he'll agree that since it's in its position and doesn't stand to move, that even though there's an airspace separation, it's considered part of the ground. Ina meor, go the other way now. Ad kan lo ka'amre rabbanam. Over there by the boat, maybe the rabbi said it's considered attached to the ground because it's not being separated by airspace. The water is just considered like an extension to the ground. So it's like we consider it thick ground. But here we have a legitimate airspace. Nothing, no mass in between the ground and the flower pot. No, maybe they won't even. Maybe they'll say it's not considered attached to the ground, which means just because you know the shita by the boat doesn't necessarily tell you the shita by the atzitz. Nakuv. Look at Rashi. The lo mafsik avira ben sefina la'aris en shum avir, which is on the boat. There's no space in between the boat and the ground. Umaya. What about the water? We just consider it like an extension. We consider it like a thickness of the ground, and therefore it would not be hefsek. But again, avir could be hefsek. So therefore, don't link the machloket together. Right. That's according to the Rabbanan. I could argue and say the ground and the water is connected. Hefsek. Comes the Gemara and gives another answer. Again, what are we trying to answer? The Tziran, the Braita. One Braita says on a boat you have to say Mifanai Nichtav, and one says if you already get on the boat you don't have to say Mifanai. Then how do we reconcile? So the first answer we reconcile, it's the Biyuda, both of them, and one is talking about where the boat was grounded, and one says the boat was not grounded. Now we go to the next answer. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar, Benaharot Eretz Yisrael. If it's in the rivers of Eretz Yisrael, the Kula Arma Lo Pelige, that what? Rivers are considered Eretz Yisrael. Just like land masses of Eretz Yisrael, the rivers of Eretz Yisrael also. There's no machloket in that. So we're taking that off the table. Even the Biyuda, everybody agrees. Whether you're grounded, whether you're not grounded, the land space and the sea space is the same thing. Look at that sheep. Fourth line. Even if the boat is not grounded, the ta'ama, the get. What's the logic of the get? I don't care if it's touching the ground or not. That's it's not a law in agriculture. Like the law of ma'aser in Shemitah. What's the purpose of the thing? Is it Israel or not? So bottom line, you're in the space of Eretz Yisrael. It's in Yanov. Do they know the Shema? It's in Yanov if it has the status of Eretz Yisrael. So I don't care if it's getting a yinika from the ground or not. The point is, if it's in the sea space of Eretz Yisrael, it's Eretz Yisrael. So where's the machloket then? Ela ki peligi. You know what the machloket over here is? The machloket is actually in the Mediterranean. Now, regarding the Mediterranean, I'd like to speak outside for a moment. There's a very basic, fundamental machloket. It's easier when we're going to say it outside than to get it inside with all the technicalities, because we'll have to start making maps again over here. Now, in order to get it outside, just to get a clarity, there's a fantastic machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda in the borders of Eretz Yisrael on the Mediterranean side. How far into the Mediterranean is still considered Eretz Yisrael? Look, Rabbanan hold that they draw a point. Now, we know the Mediterranean is on the west side, obviously, the western front of Eretz Yisrael. So what the rabbis basically do is they draw points from Hor HaHar, which is in the north. It's all bordering on the Mediterranean, Hor HaHar. And to the south, Egypt. Okay, they draw a line from those two points, Hor HaHar to Misraim. And actually, when you draw that imaginary line, of course, it actually cuts into the Mediterranean itself, because they go into the Mediterranean. So they have a part of the Mediterranean going north to south, from Hor HaHar to Misraim, that is considered Eretz Yisrael. Nafkamina, If let's say you would have an island, okay, from that imaginary line going eastward towards the land, that's going to have a din of Eretz Yisrael. If you plant on that landmass, it's masrot, it should be eat. And even more interestingly, if you would have a landmass that's above the line and beyond the line, meaning a big island, let's say, half of it, you know, goes to the east and half of it goes to the west, so the land is split by that imaginary line. The land that's beyond the line to the east is going to be following Eretz Yisrael law, and the one that's beyond that imaginary line to the west is considered Ponsatis. That's the way the rabbis consider the Mediterranean. Rabbi Yehuda has a different shita, and it's a novel shita. Rabbi Yehuda says like this: instead of drawing your lines from imaginary line north-south, draw imaginary lines east-west, which means like this. From the same points, basically, from Hodahar, the top of the mountain, to this place of Misraim, let's say. They're going to call it a different place, but basically it's the same area. That is your width. That landmass, you have a width. The Mediterranean, across that whole width, across the entire world, has a din of Eretz Yisrael. Which means, once you get, because the Mediterranean is very wide, obviously.
Right.
But as long as you're within that width of the mountain, on the north side, right? Draw a line east-west, cross, and draw a line east-west from the Egypt. That width made ladder to go all the way across the Mediterranean, all the way to Ukianos, all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, wrapping around.
Wow.
Anything that's within that width of the Mediterranean has a din of Eretz Yisrael, which is a tremendous, tremendous thing. Now, according to the view, that would come out that anything that is beyond, the islands that are beyond, meaning the north border or the south border. So of course I'm not considered Eretz Yisrael, but anything that's inside that's connected to that landmass will have a din of Eretz Yisrael. That is the mahloket by borders. Now let's apply that to Gittin. Let's say you have a boat, back to the boat, in the Mediterranean, and you passed the line of Hachamim to the west, but you're still within the width of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Yehuda would call that boat in Israel, whereas the Rabbanan are calling the boat in Hosaris. So that's the Mahlokin and Tzubraito. The Braito says you have to say, Befanai Nechtam, we're considering it Hosaris, Alibad Rabbanan. And the Shitar that says that it's considered Eretz Israel, that you don't have to say Befanai Nechtam, Befanai Nechtam, is the Yehuda according to the way it breaks up. That's the Gemara in the shortest form that we could say it. Now, we just have to read it inside and how to get it. But that's basically the image that you have to have in your mind on this machloket. Now we read it inside. The Gemara says like this. Netanya. Ezehu Eretz ve'ezehu chutzal ha'aretz. Regarding the Mediterranean. Now, kol sheshofeya ve'yored miture amnon ve'lifnim Eretz Yisrael. Now you have the mountains of Amnon, called Ture Amnon. So anything, go to the top of the mountain of Amnon, anything going from the slope, the Lifnim, towards Eretz Yisrael, towards the east, is considered Eretz Yisrael. Miture Amnon v'lachutz, chutz la'aretz. And from the Ture Amnon, sloping the other way, is going to be considered chutz la'aretz. That's the first item. They even have a picture over here where you see Ture Amnon is actually in the north. It's in the north of the Mediterranean, north side of the Mediterranean. So they're telling you, sloping towards the land is the land, and anything sloping towards the ocean is considered chutz la'aretz. However, Hanisin Shebayam, now Nisin is the islands. The islands that are in the Mediterranean, Ro'in Otan, how do you look at them? Ki'ilu chut matuah alehin. We look like there's an imaginary string. Miture Amnon ad Nahal Mislayim. Ture Amnon is Horahar. From those mounds, draw a line down, straight down to Mislayim to the south. Now, Minahut vilifnim, anything from that imaginary line towards the east, and it's Israel. Minahut vilachutz, anything from that imaginary line to the west, chutz la'aretz. And basically, like I'm telling you, as you see in the picture, it does cut into a little of the Yam HaTichon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see, part of the Yam HaTichon is going to be considered Eretz, and any island that's in that water space is going to be considered Eretz Yisrael. That's basically the Rabbanan's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Kol sheken neged Eretz Yisrael, areu ke Eretz Yisrael. anything that is parallel to the width of Eretz Yisrael in the Mediterranean is Eretz Yisrael. Shne'emar ugbul yam ve'aya, and the border on the Mediterranean side, ve'aya lachem hayam gadol ugbul zeye lachem gibul yam. From the fact that Torah says the word gibul twice, so it's coming to extend the gibul all the way across the Mediterranean. Ve'nisin shebitzdadin, and the islands that are on the side, which means past the northern border and past the southern border, which means not within the parameters that we're talking about. We make the imaginary line, which means from Kapodia until the Yam, until the Atlantic Ocean, Uminahal Misraim Vadyam Okeanos, which means Kapodia is the basic, is the same place where Horahar was, basically. It's the top of Horahar. Draw a line from there all the way across, east west. Wow. All the way to Okeanos. Go in the south. Misraim, draw a line east west all the way to Okeanos. Anything within those two lines, any island, is considered Eretz Yisrael. Menachut v'lifnim. Anything that's within the borders, the north-south borders, within that width, Eretz Yisrael. Menachut v'lachutz. Chutz la'aretz. Good. And now the way I explained to you, that's the machloket by the boat. The boat is talking about where it's beyond the line of Rabbanan, but it's still within the width of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Israel. Hachemim say it is Chutz La'aretz. Now, v'Rabbanan hay ugbul may avdile. Now, obviously, we said the word givul was extra. Rabbi Yehuda used it to include all the waters of the Mediterranean up to the Ukeanos. What does the rabbis do with the extra word ugbul? It comes to include islands, which means you would have thought maybe only the water is included. The word ugbul comes along and says that any island that's within those parameters, according to Hachamim, are going to be considered like innocent of Kamina for Ma'asir and for Shavi'id. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need a pasuk for islands, because once I told you that the whole entire mass from the Mediterranean all the way to Ukiyaros is considered Israel, whatever's in between, that's going to be included. Now, we could read the Rashi. We'll read one of the Rashis over here, just so we could, see a commentary that we're correct over here. Let's read the Rashi over here. Nachal Mislayim. Rashi says like this. Hu tchum Eretz Yisrael b'miksoa ma'arabit derumit. That's right. Egypt is the southwest border on the Mediterranean. Umehubal the Yamagadol. It's attached to the Yamagadol. Egypt is on the Yamagadol as well. Dikhtiv, Bigbul Negev, Vanaso Vagibul Ma'atzmon Nahla Misraim, Vayutots Otava Yama, Nimset, Eretz Yisrael, Ben Hor Hahar, Ben Nahla Misraim. That's what it comes out. That Israel is between Hor Hahar, which is, we call that, I guess, Ture Amnon, and Misraim. Ze Mimarabit Sifonit, Hor Hahar is northwest. And the other one, Mitzrayim, is southwest. Ve'ayam b'ma'arav, and the Mediterranean is in the west. Ve'yesh makom she'ayam nichnas letoch Eretz Yisrael ma'alach yamim rabim ben ha'orahar l'nahar Mitzrayim.
There is some Mediterranean waters that enter into the space of Eretz Yisrael between those two points that we mentioned, maybe a day or two walking distance. So therefore, ubeota kenisa, and in that entrance, yesh nisin, there's islands. Then mitpashtim lema'arav letokayam. Now, they start off on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, but they also mitpashet to the west. The big islands. Chutz miben miksoot ta'ome Eretz Yisrael, beyond the borders. The borders of Eretz Yisrael are from Horahar to Mislav. So you draw that imaginary line down. There's some islands that are before the line, and some extend even beyond the line. Shehen Horar v'Naham Mislayim Hilkach Ro'in Ki Luchut Matuach Misof Horar b'Ma'arabot Amnad Mislayim Sharei Kol Ma Shebetok Misot Alalu. Anything that's within those borders, Eretz Yisraeli U'Menachut V'Nifnim. Right now, you get to the Biyuda. The Biyuda says Kol Hayam Shekeneged Avir Eretz Yisrael Afilu Ad Ukiyanos LeMa'arav Shu Besof HaOlam. Hareu ke'eres Yisrael. It's unbelievable. Sha'are ne'emar yama gadol ugbul.
Hay ugbul kla yitera. It's an extra word, ugbul. Nemar de af rocha bayab bichlalatum.
That the width of the whole ocean or the whole sea is included in the tum of Mitzrayim.
Van nisim shebisdadin.
Now, according to the Biyudas, nisim bisdadin is the ones that protrude off the borders, to the north and off to the south.
Kedomar, ve'im yeshanu dehadek b'nisim lo letzad ma'arav yeshchiluk.
We're not going to divide it to the west, because anything towards the west is Israel.
Ela letzad tzafon v'letzad darom.
Right there, the borders are north-south.
Sheyesh nisim b'yam mitpashtim ne'orek ayam ne'safon v'darom ad shemagim moshkim chutz b'kereg l'Yisrael.
Now, you do have some islands that start off within the width, but they protrude outside,
and therefore the shamra uilim toa chut memezal lemaarav. You draw your imaginary line over there. Ulabdil mashkeneged avir is Israel, mashkeneged avir chutz la'aretz, and you divide the demarcation at that point. Veruim, one more Rashi. Ki ilu chut matua mekapodia. What is kapodia? Ira yoshevet bechodo shel horahar. It's really horahar. It's just the top of horahar. It's called kapodia. Berosh kavosh shu tchum sefoni. Ve'adam ukiyanes shu besof ha'olam lemaarav u'menach amisayim adyam ukiyanes.
So you're drawing your line all the way from kapodia and yam amisayim all the way to the ukiyanos, which is, I guess we call that the Atlantic, which is really wrapping around the whole world. You're going right back all that area within that airspace. Good.
So that's basically the machlok between Abi Yehuda and Hakamim. That's the machlok between the two. Right, what the inyan gitin
comes to Gemara and continues to be Meir Omer.
Ako ke'eres Yisrael. Okay, now we go back to the sugya that we learned in our Mishnah. Ba'u minem Rabbi Chaya bar Abba. We talk about Syria. How did the Hakamim look at Syria, specifically Aram Soba, which we refer to as Halab? And that city has a special status. As we know, it was conquered by David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom. It's called Kivush David. And it was conquered as an annexation to the land of Israel. Therefore, that city, Aram Soba, has a special status in Halakha. In certain respects, we treat it like Chutz La'aretz, but in other respects, we treat it with Kiddushat, Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara now is going to give us a thorough understanding of how you look at that place in Syria, Aram Soba. Now she says, look at three lines after they get wide, Syria. He Aram Soba, v'chavsha David, v'osifa Eretz Yisrael. Exactly, that's the city that they annexed towards Eretz Yisrael. So now the discussion is like this. Let me give you an introduction. Halakha says a person has an Eved Kanani. The law says an Eved Kanani is hayav in certain mitzvot. When he gets freed, you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani, but in the event that he got free, then the law says he's Hayav in all the mitzvot, becomes a full-fledged Jew. Halakha mandates that you're not allowed to sell your Eved Kanani to the Goyim. Why? Because when he gets to the Goyim, he's not going to be able to fulfill mitzvot. So the Halakha says that they put a knas on the owner. If you sell your Eved to Ovdei Kochavim, he goes out free. Which means it's a total freedom that he has, and therefore he's hayav in all the mitzvot. They can ask the guy, you want to sell him? You're going to lose him. They can never go back to you. It's over. So the deen is like this. That's when you sell him to chutz la'aretz, because they cannot do mitzvot. How do you look at Syria? So the Gemara ba'om minem rabbi hayav bar abba mocher avdo lesuria. Right, he sells his eved to Syria to chutz la'aretz. Good. Which means the rabbis are going to force the owner to free him, and he's going to lose his money on that, because he has to pay the Ivid his the freedom. He's going to lose the money that he paid for him. So what does it say? Kemocher bechutz la'aretz dami. Do you look at it like you sold it to chutz la'aretz, or maybe not? Amar lehu tanitua. We learned it already. Why? What does it say? We learned it in a Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, our Mishnah. Ako ke'eres Yisrael legitin. Now let's get the map skills again. Ako is to the north of Israel. Syria is even more north than Ako. You remember in the Mishnah we had a machlok at Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. How do you look at Ako per se? The rabbis looked at Ako as chutz la'aretz. Rabbi Meir looked at Ako as part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to say that argument was Linyan Gitin. Linyan Gitin we had a machlok. So it was Ligitin in. La'avadim lo. Which is the only argument was the Gebe Gitin. But when it comes to Avadim, everybody's going to say Akko is considered Chutz La'aretz.
Now, if Akba is considered Chutz La'aretz, because she can Syria the Mirhakatuba, or the most of Syria, which is even more north than Akko. Good, so that's what the Mishnah said. When the Mishnah said Akko legitin, yeah, but not the Enyan Avadim. And that's Akko. So if you tell me Akko's Chutz La'aretz for Avadim, certainly Syria. Look at Rashi. That she says, "Kemocher bechutz la'aretz." It's not the kamar mocher. Abdo bechutz la'aretz. Yatzah leherut. He goes out free. The kansina lelokem meshum de'evet shech b'mitzvot. Asur l'sim eretz Yisrael chutz la'aretz. What? It's asur to leave eretz Yisrael. So what? What's already you're sending him out? You're causing him to transgress the mitzvot right there because he's leaving eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they can ask the guy.
You need to sell it to a Jew.
And doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're putting him. You're causing him to leave eretz Yisrael. That's already avon in itself. Which means the Gemara is saying, since you caused the goy to already to go against the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, so they can ask the owner, you were trying to exempt it from a mitzvah, so you lose them. Now, Surya l'tzfona shel Eretz Yisrael, Surya is renot lehalan me'ako, legitin in. Which is, what's the logic why gitin, they have this machloket? Because gitin, what's the whole discussion? Are you lishma in those areas? And is there transit between the two places? So the gabeg get the argument was Akko, is it lishma? Did I know the law of lishma? And is there sheirot mitzuyot? However, the avadim lo delav me'eretz Yisrael, which means everybody agrees that in principle it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. The discussion was, do you have lishma in that place or do you have sheirot mitzuyot? But the inyan Eretz Yisrael, we know it's outside. So kol sheken Surya is going to be outside as well. Okay, now we go to the next case. Tarun Rabbanan. In three things, Syria has a deen of Eretz Yisrael, and in three things, Syria has a deen of Chutz La'aretz. And the Gemara gives a siman, Av Barak. Number one, Ayin is Afara. Afara Tameh ke Chutz La'aretz. Okay, the Afar is Tameh, like Chutz La'aretz. Just like we know, if a person goes to Chutz La'aretz, the rabbis made a gezerah that the Eretz Amim is Tameh because they do not mark where they bury their dead. And therefore the concern is that everywhere you go there is Tum'ah, so therefore they put a Gezerah on Eretz Ha'amim. So Surya is included in that. V'mocher avdo l'Surya kemocher b'chutz la'aretz, like we just said. And therefore the owner has to send them free. V'mevi get m'Surya kemevi b'chutz la'aretz. And therefore you're going to have to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtav. Or b'shlosha l'Eretz Yisrael, but in three ways it's like Israel. Number one, hayevet b'ma'aser. Laws of Maaser apply that you have to give Maaser on the product, and also you have to keep Shemitah. And if you want to enter Syria and remain pure, you can. Now that's just a stira, because you just said if you enter it, it's tamid. The Gemara will ask that question. And you have to know if you buy a field in Syria, it's like you're buying a piece of land in the outskirts of Jerusalem. Now we'll see what that means as well. What is the halakhic ramifications? Let's read Rashi on the bottom. Afaratame, three lines on the bottom. Shegazru aleha. The rabbis made a gezra on Eretz Amim. The afal gav the svira lelaitana kivush yain shema kivush kinditani ayevet maaser. Which means even though technically the conquest of David HaMelech is considered a conquest, but it's not considered a conquest enough to take off the deen of Eretz Amim, I feel like he got Zura, but they still made a Gezra on the land. Number two, when we get Misuria, the Eretz Silk, maybe Behonsa La'ar, the Losh Misha Yarta. You know why? Because there was not a lot of traveling between, and therefore, if you're not going to say Befanai Nechtav, you're not going to be able to Mikayem the witnesses if the husband is going to come and claim that it's a forge. So therefore, when you bring it from Syria to Israel, since there was not common travelings between the two places, you have to say Befanai Nechtav, Befanai Nechtav. Number three, Barut Silly, Kanesma, Betahara Nechnas. Right, you can't go to Eretz Yisrael and remain pure. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. And if you buy a piece of property in Syria, it's like you're buying it in the outskirts of Jerusalem. Now the Gemara is going to take one step at a time and analyze each case. Number one, Hayevet b'ma'aser u'b'shevi'it k'Eretz Yisrael. Land of Syria, you treat it like land of Israel for the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Ma'aser. Kasavar, you know why? No. Kivush yahid sheme kivush. This opinion holds that the conquest of David, even though it was a private conquest, this was not a war that he was fighting like a milchemet mitzvah of some sort. He just fought it in order to enhance his kingdom. He wanted to annex some more land into the land of Israel. It was not for the tzorech of all Yisrael. It was just for the personal, to enhance his kingdom, for his personal use. And therefore, he wasn't done with all of Yisrael as well. It wasn't like the fight of Yeshua, that when Yeshua Benu fought all of Yisrael, it was for the Klai Yisrael to divide it, to the Shevatim and all that. That nobody argues. But when it comes to David's personal conquest, it's a mahlok, and if that has a kiddush of Eretz Yisrael or not. Obviously, this opinion holds that Kivush Yahid Sheme Kivush. David HaMelech took it, this was for taxes. He could put more inhabitants there and collect money. So therefore, that's a mahlok. So this opinion holds that it's considered a Kiddusha. Look at the Rashi in the second line. Kivushai de David, shelo ayu kol Yisrael beyachad kederech shiyah bekivush Yoshua, shaya kulam, vechavshua lesore kol Yisrael kodem alku, aval David lo kavash ela letzorko. Well, it wasn't like the conquest of Yoshua, everybody was with them, they conquered it in order to divide it, this was personal, and the hadush of this statement is what? That it's considered kivush yachid, which is considered kadosh, doesn't matter. Next shita, varotzi nikanes la betara nechnas. What are you talking? You just told me that the Afar of Eretz Yisrael is Tameh. So how could you enter it? The second you enter it, you're Tameh. So the Gemara says, B'shedat Teva'o Megdad. You know how we're talking about? You entered it? You entered it via the airspace. You never touched the ground. How did you enter it? They put the guy in a box, sealed box. They carried him over like in a suspended box. A shedat tevah mikdash, different type of boxes, and therefore, yes, albeit he was ma'ahil, which means it's so different. Think about an airplane. You flew over it. That's the same thing. Shedat tevah mikdash. So they suspended him over it like in a carriage, for example. No different than a carriage. You have a horse and buggy. He's in the carriage on top. He's in the box, and the horses are wagging him. He's not dragging him. He's not touching the ground. Right. He's over the airspace. He's ma'ahil. So they weren't gozer on tumat ohel of tuma in Surya, even though in regular chutzla aris they were gozer on not only the gafshushit, touching the actual ground, moving the ground. They made a gezerah. We don't want you to be even ma'ahil because you might come to touch the ground in Syria. Although they made a gezerah on the ground, but they didn't make the gezerah on the shedat tevah mikdash. So that's what separates you. So technically, you're right. Both statements are true. If you went into Syria and you touched the ground itself, you're tameh. But if you want to enter betahara, you can. Just go into tevah shedat mikdash and you will be saved. They weren't gozer basically tumat ohel besuria atu gevshushit atu the actual. Let's read that inside first. The Tanya, because we have a brayta. Nechnas le'eres ha'amim b'shedat tevah u'migdal. Rabbi metameh. Rabbi says you went over the airspace. Oye tameh. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda metahir. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says no. As long as you touch the airspace, even chutz la'aretz, it's okay. Ve'afilu Rabbi, and even the Rabbi that was mahmir in the shedat tevah u'migdal, lo kametameh ela b'eres ha'amim tegazur al gusha v'al avira. Because he would go there on the land as well as on the dirt. Aval Surya al gusha gazru, al avira lo gazru. So therefore, Syria has a leniency that they will not go there on tumat oil. Let's read that in Rashi, please. Rashi says, "Shedat teva u'migdal v'nosim ota ba'avir." They're carrying him over the airspace. U'mashenke beres ha'amim. V'Rabbi, it's following Rabbi's opinion. Rabbi metameh, kasabah. Now, let's get the logic why Rabbi Yehuda says, technically, you're in an ohel. You're in a box. So the box should separate you from the tum'ah of ohel. Why does Rabbi still say that when you're in a tevah shedah migdal and eres ha'amim, you're tameh? Because he holds the following shita. Ohel zaruk la sheme ohel. Which means a movable ohel is not considered an ohel. Therefore, it's not going to separate mishum de tum'ah, and therefore it's considered you a ma'ahil over the airspace of the land, therefore it's going to be tameh. Kasabah Rashi, ohel zaruk, that's a movable ohel, lo sheme oil. This is all subject when they discuss cars in cemeteries, or cars in oil, but a car moves. So if you hold that a car is an ohel zaruk, it's not considered an ohel, so therefore the tumah is going to affect. Umehakim mefresh be'eruvin, ohel ha-metaltel, a movable ohel, eno ohel, b'sh'at tiltulo, hilkach, hatzitza dekam mafsikai ohel beno le'avir ares ha'amim, lav hatzitzai. Therefore it's not going to interpose between him and the land, and the air. Vashmi'inan, haitra desuria dele'el, afilu rabbi lo kametame ela beres ha'amim. And the hadush is that Rabbi was only gozer on teva sheda migdal in chutz la'aretz, but not in Surya. De gazu al gusha. Gusha means al maga'u masa. Meaning only if you touch the land itself,
ולאוהל, כגון אם העיל עליו, ועל אווירה שנכנס לאווירה תמה, ואפילו לא נגע ולא עשיתי מלמוב לגושה, בסוריה, על גושה גזרו. בגב, said, moving it, touching it, אבל על אווירה לא גזרו, ואי לא נגע ולא עשיתי, you didn't touch it, you didn't move it, therefore if you're going on an oil in the Suria, it's going to be
mutad. All the way through it?
Going through Suria, you're sitting on a carriage, they're carrying you with poles.
Through, you don't get out.
Don't get out, staying in the box, staying in the box.
You're just traveling through.
That's right, going to be okay. You're okay. Because bottom line, everyone goes in on such a oil in Eresan, in Suria. Comes again, here's the next case. You buy a piece of real estate in Syria, it's like you bought in the outskirts of Jerusalem. So the Gemara says, what halachic ramifications come out of this here? Amar Rav Sheshat lomar shekotvim alav ono va'afilu b'Shabbat. You're allowed to write the bill of document, the bill of sale, even on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, b'Shabbat zalkatatach? What do you mean? You could buy a property in Syria, you're telling me, and write the bill of sale even on Shabbat? Yes, he said, Gemara says, Kedamar Rava Omer Le'oved Kochavim Ve'osei. Not that you're writing it. You could tell a goy to write it. Which is, we learned over here in Masechet Shabbat, Rava said, if you're buying a piece of real estate in Israel, even though the law says you're not allowed to tell a goy to write something for you on Shabbat, but in order to chase the goyim out of Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis waived their law and they let you even tell a goy write the document. Let's say the goy says, you know what, I want to write the document today, otherwise there's no sale. Or you're scared, if you don't get the guy now, tomorrow I'll change his mind. Halakha says you can tell the goy, write it up now. So just, no, not yourself. That's why they didn't go. That's what the Gemara is saying. B'Shabbat zalkatatach? No, you can't do it on Shabbat. Yourself, or you can tell the goy, just like on Shabbat, you'd be allowed to tell the goy, Hachanameh, so too in Syria, Omer le'oved kochavim ve'oseh. Even though telling a goy to do something is assumed in Rabbanan, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, no Gazur Rabbanan. Because it's such a big mitzvah to have property in Eretz Yisrael and to settle the land. Look how far the rabbis even waived the law of Amirah La'akum in order to settle the land. So the Hadush of the Gemara is when you're buying a piece of land in Syria, that's like buying in the outskirts of Jerusalem, that if the deal is made on Shabbat, you can tell a goy to write up the document. But for this, the rabbis waived their laws. It's rabbinical, making the businesses deal. Though, because the rabbis might come to write. It's a gezerah. So the rabbis waived their rabbinic laws because of Yeshuv Eretz, and Syria has that same kiddusha that the rabbis allowed you to do such a thing. Look at Nashi. Mishum Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. What's the mitzvah of Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael? Legaresh of the kochavim, to get rid of the goyim, v'liyashev Yisrael ba, and to settle Jewish people there. Okay, now we move on to the next subject. Introduction. Just like we learned, if a person brings a get, Medinat Hayam, he has to say, B'fanai Nechtam, B'fanai Nechtam, we're going to learn that when a shtar shechrur, that's the document that an owner writes to release his eved, is brought also from Medinat Hayam, the shaliach also has to say, B'fanai Nechtav, U'B'fanai Nechtam, in order to establish the signatures. Good? Now, also it should be noted that when you bring this shtar, a lady was allowed to bring her own shtar as well. Remember we learned that the husband can make the lady a shaliach. She's coming from Chutz the artist to Eretz Yisrael. When she gets to the bittin, she also has to proclaim b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, and then the get is validated. Yes? So too, an eved can bring his own get. The adon makes him a shaliach. In Chutz La'aretz, take your get, meaning your get shechru, your freedom papers, bring it to the Beit Din in Jerusalem, and when he gets there, he also will have to say, B'fanai nechtab, B'fanai nechtab. The purpose of that is to validate the witnesses, because we're concerned, again, if he doesn't validate them, the owner can come along later and say, the thing was a forge, and it's going to be hard to find anybody that recognizes the signatures, because it's from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So the rabbis gave a leniency that you could trust one man, the shaliach, even the Eben himself, to say that it was written in front of me, I recognize the signatures. Now we discuss a case. Cases like this. Taru Rabbanan. Eved shevi gito. He brought his get. V'chatuv bo atzmecha v'nechasai kinuim lach. It says two things in the get.
It says, number one, you're free. Atzmecha kinu yalach. But it also says, and all my property I'm giving to you.
Atzmo kana.
Nechasim no kana. The rabbis say like this, he's free, but he doesn't get the money. Which means we were lenient to believe one witness to make a kiyum for his own freedom. Just like we believe one witness that the lady should get divorced. But we're not going to let one guy mikayem a shtar on a monetary situation. There the rabbis enforce the regular that you need two witnesses in order to mikayem the shtar. So therefore he's believed on part of the deed and the other part not. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, Eved shevigito nemedinat hayam v'sarich lomar b'faray nechtav ki'isha המביאה גיטה, דאמינן במתניתין, אחד גיטה נשים ואחד שחרורי עבדים, שבו למוניחים מבינה, the same law of bringing it back and forth. עצמו קנה, דנאמנו, אז שחרורו לומר בפני נכתב, ואין צריך עדים לקיימו. Once he comes along and says it was written in front of me, you do not have to validate it לעניין his own freedom. However, נכסים לא קנה. Why? דבעי עדים כשאר קיום שטרות. Which once it's a regular monetary situation, he's saying all the money he gave to me, so you have to validate it in the normal way. We're not going to be, it was, if we were lenient, it's only for his freedom. But we're not going to be lenient when it comes to monetary. They're the regular law stage. You need two witnesses. Now the Gemara, once you got that case, the Gemara asks another question.
Ibayadehu, kol nechasai kenuyim lach mahu.
The guy wrote one statement. All my assets are given to you. Now, why is that different in the first case? Well, the first case, there were two separate statements. Number one, you're free. Number two, all my assets belong to you. Here, the owner included both concepts in one statement. All my assets belong to you. Now, that's also saying you're free, because if he's not free, the assets always go back to the owner. Whatever the eved acquires goes right back to the owner. So it's implicitly saying all my assets are yours, which means you are free. It was done in one statement. So the question is, maybe when you say b'fanai nechtav on that one statement, so you get both items. Which is, in the first case, they were separate items, so you can split it. He's, you know, b'fanai nechtav will work on the freedom, but it's not going to work on the nechasim. But when it's all in the one item, one nechasim, maybe the b'fanai nechtav works. But let's read that in Nashi. Look at Nashi, the way he sets up the question. Kol nechasai mahu. Mi'amrinan. In the first case, they were two separate statements. It's happening at the same time. The freedom and the acquisition of the nechasim. Basically, when you write all your assets to the slave, what it basically you're doing? You know why? Because he's part of his assets. You understand? When you tell the Eved all the assets belong to you, he's one of the assets. So that's basically telling the Eved, you are to yourself. You are free. So that's you. Hilkach, imeheman aha, meheman ahai, delo palginan devura, or dema palginan, which means just like you're going to believe him, the Gabe, his asset, which is himself. So maybe you don't split the item and you believe him on all assets. Or do you say, no, I'll split the item on his asset, which is himself, I believe, but on the other assets, no. In the other case, it's easy to split it because it's two different statements. There you don't have to say palgina debura. I'm not splitting the word. It's two different statements. But in one statement, you could argue and say, you can't split the atom. You can't split the nechasim. Which means, you can't say, well, the gabe him, he's free, but the gabe the other nechasim, no. He's also nechasim. So if you believe them for his own nechasim, you understand what I'm going to say, his own nechasim, isn't he also an asset of the owner? So when the owner says, all my assets belong to you, he's really saying, including yourself. So therefore, once you believe them for part nechasim, maybe you believe them for the whole thing. Which is, maybe you can't split the word, nechasim. Or do you say, no, you can split nechasim and say, he's believed the gaber himself, but he's not believed the gaber the other nekasim. That's the Gemara's question. Let's read it inside. Kol nekasai kunakmau. Amar Abaye.
You can say the third way.
Abaye comes along and says, we're going to see all the ways now. We're going to see all the ways. The Gemara's going to say.
Amar Abaye, mitoch shekana atzmo, kana nekasim.
Abaye comes along and says, absolutely. Once he's kone himself,
He's kunin and nechassim with it. You don't split the atom. You don't split the word. No, I'm in your padginan. Look at Rashi. No Rashi. Amar le Rava. So Rava comes along and contends. Tishlama atzmo likni. I understand why you want to say he's kunin himself. Midi davi aget isha. Just like get isha, we trust one guy to mekayim, even if it's the lady herself. So we trust the eved. Ela nechassim lo likni. Midi davi akiyum shtarot de'alma. Hey, listen, this is monetary. The gabei other items, which is monetary, you got to have two witnesses to make the kiyum. Hadar amar Abayir. So you know what? Abayir retracted after Rava's claim, and he said like this: Mitok shelo kana nechassim, lo kana atzmo. That's the third option, which means he told him like this. You know what? I'm going to go the other way, Rachmir. Since he's not kone nechassim, the other nechassim, he's not going to kone himself, which means we don't split it. It's all or nothing. And therefore, since he's not getting this, he doesn't get himself. So comes the Gemara and says, I'm a le Rava. So Rava, I understand that. That doesn't make sense either to me. Pishtama nechassim lo nikne, midi davi akiyum shtarot de alma. Ela atzmo nikne, midi davi aketisha. Why shouldn't you split it? That Rava says. I understand why you want them in a nechassim, no, because you need two, because it's regular kiyum. But for himself, he should be kone like a get. Ela amar Rava, so Rava comes along and says, you know what the deen is? Echadze vechadze atzmo kana nechassim lo kana. Rava says, you split. He's kone himself, and he's not kone nechassim. Exactly. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rava dabar matna le Rava kiman. Who are you going like that you say you could split the words? Kirabi Shimon de Amar Palginan de Bura. Palginan de Bura literally means that on one word you could split and say, for this I believe him, and for this I don't believe. Now, where do you see that Rabbi Shimon holds of this concept of Palginan de Bura? So the Gemara says, it is Rabbi Shimon that said in a Mishnah. Ditnan, let's read the Mishnah. Hakotev kol nechasav le'avdo. Right? He gave him a shtar. He told him, all my assets belong to you. Yatsa ben Horin. Okay, so he goes free because he's part of the assets. Okay? And he also acquires everything else. Shi'er karka kol shihu. But let's say the owner says, all my assets are two except for one item. Right? He left a piece of karka for himself. Right, or whatever that may be over there. Okay? He said, Chutz medavar ploni. Lo yatsa ben horim. He doesn't go free. Why not? Because since the Eved is not mentioned explicitly in the Shtar, and the guy said that he's keeping something, you know what I'm going to say that he's keeping? He's keeping the Eved. Let's read. Oh, Shi'er Karka Koshu. So then we have to read Rashi, please. Look at Rashi. Lo yatsa ben horim. Tepishlama resha, the first case. Dilo galid dapte dinachek the shiura. Right, he didn't say anything, he's leaving anything over. Lo amrin de shiur. Aval hacha dinachek the shiura. Since so he explicitly said he's leaving something over, amrinan. Lididen na meshir. I'm going to say that he meant to say that not only am I leaving karka, but he's probably also leaving, he wants part of the avid by him. V'chi amar kol nechasai lecha. How do you say kol nechasai lecha? Ash'an nechasim ka'amar ul'hanufe leka'ate. He was just coming to like false flatter him a little. V'lo shechalere kevan delo amar le'atzmecha v'nechasai. Let's go slow. He was saying a mouthful in this case over here. Let's get the clarity of the case over here again. Good. Which means like this. As she's saying like this. In the first case, when a guy said, you're free. Or kol nechasai. Kol nechasai basically is like telling the guy, you're free. So Tanakama says, he's free. And he gets all the nechasim. However, if he comes along and says, kol nechasai except, once already you see that he put an exception, a clause on the karka, you got to assume that what? He put a clause, he didn't speak it out, but you got to assume he put an exception on the guy also on the Eved. Once he puts an exception on the Eved, he's not free. Once he's not free, so what he said that all my nechassim are to you really means nothing. Because if he's not free, so what did he say it for?
He just said it to make the guy feel good. It was like a false lottery, just to make the guy, feel as if he's getting over here. So now,
at the end, he's an Eved and he didn't get anything.
At the end, he's an Eved and gets nothing according to that. Exactly.
Rabbi Shimon argued. Rabbi Shimon omer, le'olam hu ben horin, ad shiyomar, kol nechasai nitunim leploni abdi, chutz me'ehad mirbo shebahin. End of sugya. Rashi. לעולם הוא בן חורין דמי דגלה גלה ומי דלא גלה לא גלה.
According to the Bishon, when you don't read into the guy, what did he say? He said all my property is yours except for a little item. So that's it, you leave a little item off, he goes free, and what? You also give the guy his the money.
Now she says Achi Omar. Actually, we'll stop over here because it's a long piece of Rashi, and we'll continue this on the next day.